Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll reflect this day on the letter to the Hebrews, often connected with Paul, but no one is quite sure exactly who finally put it together. As we looked last week, it is really a letter about what kind of sacrifice makes a difference before God. The Jewish people had their rites of sacrifice where they would again and again regularly offer up every morning and every evening an animal sacrifice and say to God, please let this animal's death count instead of putting us to death. We know we're not what you made us to be. And so we ask that you would use this sacrifice to let you know that we are sorry for our sins. Something's different now, though. Something's different because Christians say Jesus Christ is the last sacrifice that ever had to be offered. That when that's done, that's done. And so therefore, the change in focus is one that instead of looking at the past and what haven't we done, it is to look toward the future. Well, that sacrifice kind of leads me into something else. A different place where we use the word sacrifice. Gene, where are you? Where would we use the word sacrifice today? How about a sacrifice bunt? In baseball, that's why I ask you. Okay? I figured you would jump at that one quicker than any of the rest of us. A sacrifice bunt. When someone says to move something along, I'll sacrifice my chance to get a hit to be able to get a run. We could talk about a sacrifice bunt. We can talk about a sacrifice fly, where you hit the ball maybe deep right center so that someone from third can score and get a run. Sacrifice is something a lot of people would say, well, I have sacrificed a lot. How many parents would say, I sacrificed things for my kids? Oh, most of you didn't, huh? Oh, I'm sorry. I got one hand way in the back, the rest of you. There are a lot of things that we give up for something else. One New Year's Day, a good number of years ago, the Saturday before New Year's Day, which fell on a Sunday that year, I was called up and I was asked to preach at another church. The pastor had died during that week. He died after the bulletin had been printed. And so I was asked to preach that Sunday. It was kind of an uncomfortable feeling because it was someone else's name in the bulletin and he had passed away. And so I got out there. It was January 1st. But as I took time to look at the text that I was going to preach on, an idea came to me that was about baseball. And so the first thing that I had to say to them is I didn't just go into the file and yank out a sermon from the summer. This is something that I just saw now. If you play the game of football, you're on one end, and the goal is to get to the other end. If you play soccer, the goal is to get the ball into the net. If you play basketball, it's to get into the net on the other side. But baseball is a different kind of game because the aim is to get back to where you started. First base, second base, third place, and back home again. You start at home and you want to end at home. And in some ways, that seems to me to be a model of what our Lord does for us and with us. What is our salvation? It is to get back home. We may not feel very much like we're getting close to home if we're way out in second base and nobody seems to be hitting the pitches very well. But the book of Hebrews is really saying, how do we get back home again? How do we get back to where we started? It is not because we're able to make it on our own. If I get a single, somebody else is going to have to move me around to get me to second and third and back home. The deal is, for us as Christians, we don't start the game at all. We're not even on a team. And yet God himself sends his own son because we used to be on the team. Way back in the Garden of Eden, we were the team. To be home, to be at peace with our God. There's all sorts of things that go on along the way in life as we live our lives now, and many of those are, as the writer to the Hebrews says, just taking care of daily business, just carrying out the things of the day. So we've got to buy groceries, we've got to put gas in our car, we've got to pay our bills, we've got to take care of ourselves, and all those very normal things of life. But the idea here is, whether you're anywhere in that journey, do not get caught up in thinking it's good enough here. I got so many hits as I was playing softball in college that for me it was a joy just to get to first base. I don't know if I ever scored any runs or anything like that. I can't remember that far. It was nice if I just got on base, but that wasn't enough. It's not just enough to live our lives. It is to be on a trek going back home. And so a lot of times what will happen to us in life is there are things that we will think are very, very important, and at some point we have to lay them aside. We have to say this is not the essence of what's going on. I would like to help us all remember that one of the things that may be so important to us that we have to lay aside is what other people have done to us. As they've gotten in the way, as they've tried to keep us from getting somewhere, as they've brought hurt and harm to our hearts and our bodies. We might want to hold that front and center. We might want to say, my life is about getting back at them. But our Lord says, he died for their sins, and he died for ours. And so we are to lay as much as we can before our Lord. We have to live our lives, and it doesn't mean that everything is going to be just taken for granted, but that we ask the Lord, help us to continue to see everybody else out there as someone you died for. And so the writer to the Hebrews says, care for each other, even for people you don't know, that you find a way to be a bridge to them from God out toward their heart, not just to be a friend here, not just to be nice now, but because Jesus Christ has a desire. He has a desire that everyone will be benefited from his own death and resurrection. Everyone will be loved. Not just the people who are fellow members of the church, but even more that we watch for ways in which we can love people who know nothing about Jesus Christ or who know nothing about the fact that in the center is not the sins of someone else, but the salvation of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice was not just a sacrifice that meant he lost one at bat or one chance to get a home run. His sacrifice was that he laid down his human life as God and man so that all of us could get back home, back into the relationship that was intended for us from the very beginning. And so Paul says, as we are on our journey through life, wherever we are in that journey, we are on our way to going back to where we will be his children forever, settled and loved by him, and that we don't just kind of tolerate it, but that we live it out day by day. The writer reminds us that Jesus died outside the city. They used to take the animal after it had been burned in a burnt offering, which meant, God, I have sinned really terribly against you. Let that animal's death be in place of me. Well, Jesus died outside the city. And so it says, leave behind all of the earthly thinking, all of the stuff that says might makes right, or that says I have to get back at them for what they did to me. And instead, have your eyes fixed on what is ahead. Just a little couple chapters before, we're reminded that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross and suffered the shame, that we might be restored to a relationship with him forever. Wherever we are in the journey, whatever struggles we face, we can know we're going to get home, because he who gave his life assures us, I'm with you always to the end of the age, and I am going to bring you to be with me where I am, that you may celebrate that life forever. And so, Jesus Christ, who is, as Pastor Cooey told the kids, the same yesterday and today and forever, says, I will be with you, and I will bring you to be with me. You need not fear. You need not wonder. You need not think that somehow you're stuck at any point along the way. For the goal is to be back home with him forever. But he's with us now on that journey. For that we thank him, we ask his strength, we ask him to lay aside whatever we do to get in the way, sometimes running in the wrong direction like little kids do, sometimes wondering about others and thinking that the goal is just to get them out of the way, but rather for the joy that we have to take the sacrifice that he gave that gives us life everlasting, and let it give us shape and focus to every single day, that our life is a thank you and a praise and an honor to God who has given us life everlasting. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.